Well, it's good to be here tonight. I'm here every Sunday night. I try to be, but tonight's special for me because this is the first time that I've been asked to preach here. And let me tell you how God works. I was just telling my wife not even 2 weeks ago, I said, God's called me to preach, but I feel like I'm not going to get any opportunities to preach at First Church because this church is filled with preachers and teachers and all kinds of fine folks that will bring the word. And about 2 weeks later, Nathan said, "You want to preach at First Church?" And I said, "Okay." I hear you, God. You can't ever... Sometimes, you know, when I first got saved, I'd been getting the calling to do something about preaching, or I didn't really know. I still don't know, to be honest with you. But, you know, God gives us a calling in all of our lives. He gives us passion for that calling too, but it's up to us to be willful to receive that calling. And sometimes we struggle, and sometimes we don't do, you know, maybe the best job or not. But tonight's topic and the title of my sermon or lesson tonight is forgiveness. And this is, I'm probably preaching this to myself more than anybody here tonight, so just bear with me. So before we get started, I brought this big book. We're going to line everybody up, and I'm going to hit you right upside the head with it and see how fast we can forgive each other. No, I'm just kidding. Forgiveness isn't easy, but God provides the guidance we need to step up to the challenge. So if you got your Bibles tonight, I'm going to be all over the place because when I preach, I like to use Scripture because I feel like that's the best way to preach, is use the words of Jesus. So tonight we'll be in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. I think it might be up on the screen. I'm not used to having screens, you know what I mean? This is pretty nice. All right. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In today's world, that is not what the world tells you to do. The world doesn't tell you to feed your enemies or give them a glass of water or anything. They tell you to make fun of them and mock them, and if they're your enemies, you should hate them. Well, I've been with Jesus long enough to know that he doesn't hate anybody. Jesus hates sin, but he doesn't hate the people. And tonight's topic is probably one of the most important things in the Bible, and that's forgiveness. Because before we all came to Christ, we did a lot of bad things. We sinned against God. All have sinned against God and fallen short. And we had to ask for forgiveness for that. No matter, you know, what our social status was or, you know, any walk of life that we had before Christ, it didn't matter. We all had to ask for forgiveness. And it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we should never repay hate with hate. We should show them unconditional love as Jesus did. And if you have any conditions, I heard this at a funeral not too long ago. If you have any conditions, then you're not loving unconditionally. Let God be the judge. Let God hold everyone to task for their faults and failings. We're called to take the high road and continue to love and help our enemies. We're called to overcome evil with good. We're called to be kind and loving and not hold on to grudges. Man, that's a hard one. Holding on to grudges will do nothing but drag you down. You really have a grudge against yourself. That's the hard part that we have to realize. If we hold on to a grudge for somebody else, say somebody does something you didn't like, and it's probably not even that serious, but if you hold on to that, every time you see that person, that bitterness grows and grows and grows, and eventually it's going to take you over before you realize it. So that's why forgiveness is very important, because if we don't forgive, then we won't be forgiven. So lesson number two, well, or point number two, is break the bars of your yoke. And I ain't talking about eggs. Leviticus 26:13 says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Forgiveness breaks the bars of your yoke. The burden of pulling a heavy load of anger becomes too much to bear. It clouds our vision. It strains our ability to enjoy life. And it hampers our ability to love. If we harbor unforgiveness, we surely can't love anybody. Because if we have a grudge against one person, if that's the way that we are, we'll probably have a grudge against just about everybody we come in contact with. So we have to cut it out. Jesus said to cut it all out by the root. You can't just take a weed eater and hit the top real quick, you know, make it look pretty for a little bit. Because every time I've done that, man, I got a weed eat 5 days later. You know what I mean? Every time you take a weed eater to grass, it grows back. But if you take it out by the root, it ain't there no more. And that's what Jesus is talking about there. When we forgive, the bars of our yoke are broken. And we can walk away from the heavy load, enabling us to move forward with joy and lightheartedness and love. This freedom allows us to walk with our heads held high, proud and happy to move on and enjoy the gift of life that God has intended for us. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, it says this, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. As a matter of fact, if we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, He doesn't even hear our prayers. Everything's hindered. It's not just, you know, He won't forgive us for what we've done, but if we pray and, you know, we don't mean it because we haven't forgiven our brother or our sister or whatever's going on, if we harbor that in our hearts, God's not going to listen to you because He knows better. Sometimes this is hard for me to understand when somebody cuts us off or something in the road, you know, when they turn off in front of us and get mad. Now, this is a hot one right now, but I'll speak on it for a moment. But the thing that happened in Paris at the Olympics, they even came out and said that it was, you know, they mocked some Christian beliefs or Christian people or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter if they were preaching or if that was depicting whoever, whatever God they depicted or whatever. There is no other God but Jesus. That's it. But I have also seen a lot of people say a lot of hateful things about what happened. And we're not called to do that. We're not called to be hateful about things that upset us. When Jesus got mad, His wrath produces righteousness. Every time, it never produces anything bad. All good things come from God. All good things do. Doesn't matter what it is. It's all good. If it comes from the Lord, it might hurt for a minute, and it might be hard to do, but it's good. It's for our good. But we can't harbor hate over anything. If we can't forgive them for what they've done, God won't forgive us for doing whatever we did before, maybe sometimes what we do now. We're not perfect, but we strive to be. We know the one who is perfect. He has an undying love for us, and we have to live by that. So I won't spend too long on that topic, but just remember, God said that the world hated Him first. And it doesn't matter what goes on. It's tough right now, but I surely don't see anybody cutting anybody's heads off and using it as a pathway for their kingdom to walk around at night and burning people like that. Things have been bad since day one. There's been liars, there's been thieves, murderers, rapists. There's been a lot going on since day one. It is bad right now, and we do need prayer. But God will still forgive all those people like He forgave us. He gives them a chance. He gives them more than one chance, really. But it's up to Him. He is the judge. Forgiveness not only frees us from being captive to heavy grudges, but we are called to forgive. God promises to forgive our sins and requires us to do the same for those who have wronged us. Why should we Why should we expect our sins to be forgiven when we refuse to give those who have sinned against us? We count on God forgiving us, but He requires us to do the same. I know I've asked my wife to forgive me probably 100 times already today. When you're married, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, I'm always wrong, she's always right. I'm learning that. And sometimes that's hard to understand. But I have to ask for forgiveness a lot because, like I said, I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm striving to be. I strive to be more like Christ every day. But I have to ask forgiveness not only from my wife, but I have to ask forgiveness from God too, because she's my number one ministry. Our wives and our husbands are our number one ministry. And then comes the rest of it. But it's hard, especially when you're stubborn like myself. Sometimes I'm hard-headed. It's hard for me to forgive sometimes. But Jesus is our example. That leads me into my next point. Jesus is our example. In Luke 23:34, He says this. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up His clothes by casting lots. In other words, they threw dice or gambled or whatever for whatever He had. But Jesus was dying on the cross. We put Him there. Those people put Him there. But He still said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They had no idea they were killing the Son of God. A few of them did. But the ones that really hated Him, they didn't know what was going on. They just knew that He was talking the truth, and it made them mad. But He was still willing to forgive those people. He forgave us for doing that. Of course, we weren't there when He hung on the cross, but He could look out and see us there when He did it, and He looked back and seen the people before. And that's unconditional forgiveness and unconditional love. That's something that you can't buy. Salvation is a free gift for us because we can accept it and not have to pay anything for it. But is it really free? Jesus paid the ultimate price for it. He gave everything He had, and He didn't have to. But He forgave us. And that's what counts. Jesus showed us the greatest example of forgiveness by forgiving those who had falsely accused Him and were putting Him to death. We don't often think of His torture and agony and the sadness and abandonment He felt. As a human being put to one of the most excruciating deaths, we can only imagine Jesus' suffering, yet He still forgave us. If we can only keep that perspective when we wallow in our own pain, we can lean on Jesus to help us when we've been wronged. Because every time that we do get wronged, when we lean on Jesus, He's either going to show you what you need to see, or he's going to say, "It's okay, forgive them, and move on." You know, He's not going to tell you, "Well, you might ought to just wait a little bit and let them show their true colors, or you should just don't like them anyways because they're bad people." That's Satan. And he'll try to confuse you into thinking that Jesus is telling you that. That's his number one job. He's here to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. He's never changed his tactics. He never changes. He does the same old thing over and over again. He did it with Eve and Adam in the garden. He tried to do it with Jesus, which was crazy. But he's still going to do that. If he'll do it to Jesus, he'll do it to us. He does it to us every day. But we have to push that away. Discernment is the number one thing that we should practice and ask for and pray for. Because if we can't tell who's talking to us, that's bad. And that's what leads a lot of people astray. They don't know who's talking to them. They accept what the world says. Oh, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. They say, "Well, maybe it's all right." But if we stay in the Word and we renew our minds with the Word, we'll know what's going on. We'll know who's talking to us then. Jesus was the Word wrapped in flesh. So whatever this book says, He said it. And that's the truth. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He wasn't kidding when He said that. I thought He was kidding when He told me that. I was, speaking of forgiveness, I used to be a bar hopper all the time, doing bad things, drinking, and all kinds of bad stuff, playing music, thought I was going to be a rock star, man, you know what I mean? And Jesus would always tell, I knew it was him, but I just didn't want to listen. It's like your dad telling you something when you're a teenager. You're like, Dad, whatever, dude, you don't know nothing. You know, boy, I found that was, Dad was telling the truth, you know what I mean? But I kept pushing that off and saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing that. I want to do this. I want to be, you know, whatever. I'm going to be famous, whatever. And look at me now. I'm standing here doing what he told me I was going to do. And I had a choice to follow that or not. But he put that calling on my life. He put a calling on all of our lives. We're not called to sit here and listen to preaching every once in a while and go home and live like we did before we showed up. We have a duty to do, all of us. Not just me or Glenn or Ralph or whoever, Larry, Robert. We're all called to be disciples. We're all called to evangelize. But we're also all called to forgive. That brings me to my next point, which I didn't give this to Bill. I'm going to make him dig. So this is in Luke chapter 7, verse 41 through 48. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, said Jesus. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, did you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Her many sins have been forgiven. As her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. That's very important. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now, me and my wife talk about this all the time. Sometimes we get real busy and we start to get frustrated, you know what I mean? Well, when Jesus was with Martha and Mary, Martha was always busy. She was, you know, cooking for him and getting all this ready and doing this, cleaning the house and all that. She was paying no attention to Jesus. She was trying to do a lot of things for him and get all this ready, but Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet worshiping him. She wanted to have a relationship with Jesus, and Martha just wanted to impress Jesus. Are we trying to impress Jesus, or are we trying to have a relationship with Jesus? That's the point of that story. You know, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and was worshiping him with her heart, worshiping him in truth and spirit. Sometimes we get so busy trying to do the will of God, we don't hear the will of God. Sometimes we get too busy in our own personal lives and we don't worship God or praise God like we should, or we don't pray as we should. And that'll affect our life spiritually and physically. Yeah, and physically. It'll affect it both ways, mentally. If you're not in the Word and you're not having, you know, you're not connected to Jesus, that's like if you have anybody got any power tools in here? Do they work without the battery? No. If you're not connected to the charger, you're not going to get charged. Your battery's not going to get charged, and your tools ain't going to work. It works the same way with Jesus. If we're not connected to him, then everything we're doing is out of our own will and not out of his. But we'll know his will if we stay in the Bible, if we stay in the book. So my point number five is this. God's greatest sacrifice was for our forgiveness. He sent his only son down here to die for that, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and live eternally and not perish. So 1 John 2:2. I think, yeah, this one's up. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'll read that again. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Not just here at First Church, not just here in America, but the whole world. Besides Jesus dying for our sins, the greatest gift we have been given is God sending us His Son to atone for our sins and ask His very own Son to sacrifice His life for ours. So like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of craziness going on right now, especially with the election coming up. One side, it's good versus evil pretty much. But the bad side needs forgiveness just as much as the good side does. We have to remember that. Now, I'm not saying go vote for the crazy person and put them in there and try to let them run, keep running the country. But we have to pray for those people. We have to pray for them no matter what. We have to forgive them for the bad that they have done and accept the good that they can do. That was Jesus' whole ministry. You know, I saw a post earlier today that Jesus identified as a sinner, which was way out in left field. He never identified as a sinner, but he hung out with sinners. He hung out with you and me before we came to him. Because if he didn't, we would have never come to him. If he wasn't there knocking at the door, though I stand and knock at the door, where would we be today? He ate with sinners and tax collectors, but he didn't sin. He always told them what they were doing wrong and how to fix it. He never said, "It's okay. I forgive you for that, but you don't have to do nothing. You just stay the same." That's not what he called us to do. I don't imagine that any parent could fathom such a sacrifice that God had to make. But that's how God's love is for us. By calling His Son to die for our sins, we are granted eternal life and forgiveness. God watched His Son be tortured for our forgiveness. Perhaps we're able to find just 1 ounce of His strength to muster through our own journey to forgive. Just a little bit. Faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. Imagine if we were filled with it. God watched His Son be tortured for our forgiveness. Perhaps we're able to find just 1 ounce of His strength to muster through our own journey to forgive. He promises a beautiful reward. How many times must we forgive? I'll tell you. Once we find the strength to forgive someone who has wronged us, it's easier to see why Jesus said we are to continue to forgive. Just remember that. We're continue to forgive. Not only 7 times, but 77 times. Well, I multiplied it, 70 times 7, and I got 490. He said continue. He didn't say stop. He might have said forgive him 77 times, but that word continue means keep going. I think I'm on about 475 for my wife today. But it's okay. I'm doing better. I'm learning. That's why we're here. That's why we're in church. We're here to do better and to learn. We don't forgive and forget. That's God's job. We forgive and we keep on giving. We just can't forget. We can't say, "I forgive you, Glenn," and then turn around and just forget Glenn. You know what I mean? That's not really forgiveness. That's just saying, "Man, I'm sorry. What if I took a baseball bat and broke his leg right now? Bam! Sorry, Glenn." You know, but if I say sorry and just walk off, that doesn't mean anything. That's not true forgiveness. We have to let it go. We have to quit harboring hate and unforgiveness. I'm about to sneeze. Forgive me. It's trying to go away and it's trying to keep coming back. But anyways, that brings me to this. Matthew chapter 18. Now, I give you some of this, Bill, but I added on to it. So forgive me. See how it worked out? God's got a sense of humor, I'm telling you. Okay, so this is the parable of the unmerciful servant. So it says, let's see, chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered and said that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. That's a lot. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant Thank you. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back for what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. I don't know what that fellow was thinking. You don't make no money in jail. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he had owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. True forgiveness means we have to forgive. And it says right here in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. He's not just talking about the disciples. He's talking about all of us. Each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So tonight, I ask, have we forgiven those who can't forgive us? God loves you, but He requires your obedience, your will to do His will. Obedience doesn't get you into heaven. Being born again gets you into heaven. But if you're born again, the obedience comes after that. You know, you can't get in a shower. Well, I'm sorry. You can't clean up and then get in a shower. You know what I mean? A lot of people try to do that and they fail. Jesus is the one who'll clean you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth. But you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you can't forgive because you've not been forgiven. So let's remember this tonight. I pray that each and every one of us takes something home from this. I know I will. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me tonight. But thank you guys for your love and support. Like I said, God loves you. He loves you way more than I do, but I love you too. And I hope you love me. But I'm going to end with a word of prayer, and I'd like to do something that I think we seriously need. Ralph said it. Jesus says it. That's the most important part, that Jesus said it. But I think that we need to pray tonight. We need to have time, and we need to pray for one another. You know, get in a group of three or four, whatever y'all want to do. Get in a little group, and let's tell each other our prayer requests and what we need prayer for or whatever. And let's pray tonight. Let's pray for what's going on in our country. There's a lot of sick going on right now. You know, Ralph's here. There's a few people that's here that'll anoint you and pray for you if you're dealing with sickness. We'll pray for you for whatever. Just come on up and we'll keep it rolling. But thank you, guys. And I love you. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day.